So, yeah, did y'all have access to, like, reading material beyond school?
Just in school.
Yeah. So, in a way, it was hard to really learn more if you didn't have it.
That's exactly.
Okay. What church were you a member of?
I grew up in a very small church, Methodist, Mount Carmel, in South Carolina. And, of course, black people, particularly back then, my grandmother was very religious. And, of course, we were brought up in the church. But older people, particularly people that were somewhat involved back in the slavery times, you know, they were so caught up in the things that the demands that were put on them at that time, that even in the church, I guess you could say that some of the things that they instilled in me, most times I didn't agree with them. Because I felt like that things could be so much better, you know, so much better than the way that they were portraying things, even down to the church. I mean, it was just things that the older people would say, oh, well, you can't do it like this because you're black, you know, and you just had to accept mediocrity. And that was one thing that I had a hard time dealing with, because I felt like if I'm capable of doing what this person over here is doing, then I should be able to do it if I want to. Because, see, I love to sing, and I played the piano in the church. Of course, I got away from all of that, you know, but I felt like I couldn't really be a good singer if somebody had worked with me, you know, but back then, you were told stuff like, you know, you're black and you might as well forget it. You know, you'll never be a, you know, nobody would ever sign you. Nobody would ever do this for you or that for you. You know, it was like they discouraged you from doing a lot of things because you were black and because what they were subjected to, you know, they never gave you any encouragement. I won't say that nobody did. But that was pretty much the way most of them responded to you when you would want to do something. You know, well, you know you're not white, so you're not going to be able to do this, so you just might as well give up.
In, like, my music class, my black survey to music class, I think we were talking about churches and how back then that the blacks went to church as an escape from reality. Would you say that's how it was, you know, and they sung the spirituals to keep them motivated?
Most of their motivation came from the church.
They didn't have much else. So pretty much the social realm and all was at church.
Because, you know, so often when we would go places, there were not really that many places where blacks were accepted. And then when we would go places, you know, it didn't bother some people how whites would respond to them. I always had a problem with it, you know. Even now, I have a problem with it. And I feel like if I attend something that's, say you've got 80% white, 20% black, and you know, and you get the stares, and it's not quite as common as it used to be. Because of the mixture, you know, is acceptable, but still you get the stares and the what are you doing here expressional faces, you know, that type thing. And my husband would say to me all the time, you know, you can't let that bother you. You know, you've got to live your life, and if you're going to be accepted in anything, he says, you just have to go ahead, because sometimes, he says, sometimes you can perceive people wrong. You know, when the stairs may not be the way that you're interpreting the stairs, but still, I'm very sensitive about a lot of things, even now, and I know it has to do with what I had to deal with growing up.
Okay. As far as I know, you wasn't really directly involved in the civil rights movement, but how would you describe it? You know, like if you heard something on the radio or you heard about the bus boycott or anything like that?
Yeah. Of course, we didn't have television. we didn't have a television. And would listen occasionally to things that were going on the radio, and I followed Martin Luther King pretty closely, and would hear about the things that he was doing, and I really wish that I could have been involved with it. I really did. It's just that I was not in a position to do it. But basically, as far as the civil rights movement is concerned, I really just kind of would hear things here and there about what was going on with it. But my mom died when I was 11 years old, and I was the oldest child, so I was sort of a parent to my younger sisters and my brother at a very early age. So I missed out on a lot as a child because I was too busy trying to be a mother to them. So I really didn't keep up with a lot of things that I would like to have done at that time. I would just hear things here and there about what was going on. But that's about the extent.
When you heard these things, did you think, well, hey, the world might change, it might be a better chance for the blacks after all?
Oh, yeah, I would get so excited when I would hear that they had made another accomplishment, you know. I can remember just thinking that someday, you know, that me, myself, the one thing that I've always wished for is that we can all live together as people, not black people, not white people, not foreign people, just people. And that's one thing that I've always hoped for. And sometimes just when you think you're getting there, something will happen and it would be a setback, you know, and it would make you wonder if the world will ever be that way. But that's the one thing in growing up that I can remember hoping for the most, is that someday that we could all live together. And it's just like, and it's unfortunate, even now, when you move into a predominantly white neighborhood, you gradually see all of the whites move out. The neighborhood I lived in before I moved where I am now, I think I was about the fourth black family to move into the neighborhood. And usually what they say is blacks don't take care of their property. Always associating blacks with violence, crime. And none of this existed in my subdivision. But still, the whites moved out. And I can remember saying when I saw it go from four black families to a predominantly black subdivision, and most of the white families that moved out didn't have a legitimate reason. It wasn't that to move out for bigger and better things. It's move out before the area becomes too black. Not realizing that, of course, when they moved out, the area was going to become black because whites were not going to move in where there were, you know, I guess one black family maybe, but where you had four or five black families living in a subdivision, they were not going to move in.
Do you ever try to think or justify what they were thinking, the whites, by moving out? You know, like, what have you ever tried to figure out basically why?
I guess I would say that perhaps fear, because, and some of it had to do with their associations with people saying that acceptance, I guess, fear and acceptance, I guess, and accepted by whoever it is they felt like they had to be accepted by, and that it wasn't quite kosher to live in an area with black people, you know. I guess that would just sum it up, fear.
Probably fear of the unknown, not really knowing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And not willing to take a chance.
Do you think the movement was well worth it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I really feel that if Martin had not done the things that he did, fought the battles that he fought, that we would not be living. So it was definitely worthwhile.